So welcome back to Graveyard Shift. I'm your host, Frankie Campoletta.
And I'm Jeremy David King.
Jeremy David, David, David King.
We've become like car announcers now.
Would you like to buy this new car?
Right.
If your name ends in O, it's zero down.
There's actually...
Do you guys love ghosts as much as me and Jeremy love ghosts? Because we're just sitting here looking at each other. We're drinking... Tonight's sponsor is Diet Sunkist, and if you haven't had a Diet Sunkist, well, you're just missing out. I'm living my best life drinking this.
You're wrong if you haven't.
You think ghosts is I'm living my best afterlife?
I can't wait to be a ghost.
We should make that shirt. I'm living my best afterlife.
That's a good one.
That's a really good one.
That's solid. I like that.
Yeah, I'm just going to edit that one out. So good.
Yeah, because edit it out because we actually should make that t-shirt.
Do it right now.
Love it.
It's pretty good. We have we might burp a lot on this one because we're drinking Publi soda, but that's what you come to expect from us. We're not really trying to grow a lot of people on our, you know, if we do, great, but maybe that's why we'll grow people.
I mean, I thought about farting on the mic.
I mean, like, but burps in HD are awesome.
I wonder what a fart's like. Do you remember when I tried to catch a fart on the infrared camera? We have a flare camera for ghost hunting. And I'm not even joking. Like, we've tried, like, several times. I'm known as the team fartist.
Parafartist.
And we've tried to catch... Because there's that... I think it's an SNL skit from years ago where they catch a lady farting on an infrared... Or an infrared... No, it's not infrared. It's...
Yeah, it is. Heat. Is that,
yeah, it's heat. Okay.
Not night vision.
Not night vision.
That would be even better.
Well, that's infrared. That's what you use. What would they... Well, we'll just call it a FLIR camera.
It reads it's body heat. It reads body heat.
But it didn't read the body heat of my fart.
It didn't. It's the same thing when it's really cold outside. We live in Missouri, so if you're listening from another state...
Missouri's on the Kansas City side, boy.
Missouri's the way I say, son. I've got one tooth, and it's meant for you.
You floss with clothesline, don't you?
It's home with a toothbrush, because we only got one.
Just the tooth. The toothbrush.
God, I love Missouri. So Missouri here gets pretty cold, but even if you fart outside and break wind, you're not going to get smoke from your butt, which I've always, you know, it was such a letdown.
Oh, because you're from Miami, yeah. So you were expecting like...
No, you fart in Miami, it's like a brown spray of wetness because it's just swamp ass all day. That's all. It all sounds like that.
Every car in Miami has brown stains in the driver's seat.
Basically, everybody in Miami has like shit stained underwear, 100%.
I believe that.
It's 90 degrees in the shade all the time. I love you, Miami. Not really though. So tonight, why we're being so stupid and elusive tonight is because tonight's episode is going to intrigue so many people. Because
it's so stupid and elusive.
Because it's so stupid and elusive. It's terrible. And of course, tonight we're talking about the movie that's so scary. It's scarier than The Ring combined.
Everybody always compares the scariest movie ever to the scariest movie ever, The Exorcist.
And you can't beat it. Conjuring came really close.
Close. Both of them. The first and the second one.
Yeah.
Both.
My house!
But that's true. That's the
that
second
one. That one was for Veronica.
But
when Veronica was here, that's all we did. We watched. I miss that girl. She's living in Virginia now. So guess what? When we go up to go see Greenbrier.
Sweet.
We're going to take her with us.
Yeah, she just friended me on Facebook.
She's
like
amazing.
Today.
Yeah, she's amazing. I love her. She's our little paranormal guru. She's out in VA. I call it, we call it the Vag, Virginia.
Virginia.
It's going to get, oh, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get offended. Fuck you. It's my show. The FCC can't shut us down, actually.
What's the FCC?
So at the end of the day, today we're going to be talking about Bird Box. But before we talk about Bird Box, We're gonna call my mom live on the air here, and we're gonna wish her happy birthday
because it's her birthday.
It's her birthday, and she's turned close to 176 years old.
Wow!
She's gonna be very rude when I call her. I can almost guarantee
this. I hope your mom cusses at us.
I hope she does too. I
mean, there's actually a solid chance of that.
The suspense
is killing us.
Don't go outside, Mom. Make sure and wear a blindfold. Your mom doesn't love you.
This is the thing. Like,
she saw it was you, and she's like, "Screw him."
Please leave your message for
your mom. Your mom puts you to voicemail.
My mom got taken by the creature.
The creature.
Have we told them what the show's about today?
Bird Box. I'm the bird in the box.
Hello.
Hi, Jake.
Hey, I've been calling Mom. I can't get a hold of her. Oh, okay, listen, you guys are on the air, by the way. We and her, we're in the middle of a podcast, so you're going to be on this episode.
I'm here. I've been waiting for your call all day.
Mom, you've been waiting for my call all day. Me and Jeremy are here to wish you a happy birthday on the podcast.
If I wasn't working, I would have called Jeremy and asked to wish you a happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, Jeremy. God, I got a son, finally.
I have a son. I have a son. Mom, how does it feel to be 75? I know, Mom. And I'm so sorry. I apologize. We had a huge shift miss. We had our shift miss, okay. And so
we have shift miss.
We had graveyard shift. The podcast. You're on the podcast right now, which is great. Can't wait to upload this to your Facebook page. And it'll take you like a year to find it, but it's gonna be amazing. So my mom's turning 75 years old, Jeremy. Can you believe that?
I cannot.
75 years old.
She does not look that old.
You know what's weird? When I was in North Carolina, we went near a funeral home, and her face was there for the coming soon poster. It's like, the coming soon ghost. So, Mom, do you think that you're going to haunt people? Like when you...
I'm crazy. I'm 75. I was in a hospital there a week ago.
Is that like your daily trip now to the hospital when you're that old? You just go to church and hospitals? I mean, what else really is there?
When I'm old, I'm not going to church.
So, Mom, so what are you doing? What is your birthday wish, Mom?
I'm with my family here. I'm missing you here. I got John, Nicole, CT, Vinny, Dad, Nicole. That's all I need. I mean, I said Gabby, didn't I? I don't have my Sienna. I don't have my Frankie. Jeremy, where's my other son? Jeremy, where the hell is that guy?
He's eating.
Where's Sarah? Sarah there?
Nope.
No, she's in Potato.
She's in Potato. Potato, Illinois.
Where's my grandkids? Where's the other grandkids?
Who, Dex and, Dex and Bowie?
Yeah, they're annoying my wife.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mom. When you're here, we'll have Jeremy come up with the kids and Sarah, and then all the kids can play together, and you can.
I hope so.
Absolutely, we'll do that.
I'm waiting for all you guys to come up.
Okay, and then we have one more question for you before we let you go and have some fun on your birthday, and I'll see you real soon. But
a bad one, right?
No, all I'm saying is like, are you going to haunt people when you reach your end time?
What?
Are you going to haunt people?
Get out of the place.
Only the ones that
like.
Oh, that's cool. Nice. He's like, hey, we talked about the smells. Right. We'll just smell like tomato sauce. Oh. Hey, it smells like a nice,
Do you smell that? That's a carbonara?
It smells like a Parmesan in here. A little Parmesan. Mom's around. Why? I smell sausage.
Where are you at right now, Frank? So who are you with?
I'm with Jeremy. We're at my house. We're podcasting. We started Graveyard Shift. We have a couple different episodes we're going to launch the new year with. People are very excited about our new year. We're talking a lot about movies this year. We're doing Bird Box right now, which is a terrible film.
I liked it.
That's great.
So I will. When we are done with this episode, we will post it.
We're just posting it. No editing.
We've come a long way. We have.
You sure have.
Yeah. Are you excited?
Stay with it.
We are.
Okay, I love you all. I love you, Frank.
I love you too, Mom. I wish I was there. I'll see you real soon.
I hope so. Well, we'll be seeing you in March.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be fun.
Okay, make sure Jeremy's off and his family. We're all going to be together.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's what families do. Okay, we're going to cook nice pasta and some meatballs and sausage a little bit. You know, we're going to get very heavy. Today, together, we're going to get very heavy.
We're going to yell at each other.
We're going to yell at each other. We're going to say things like, you know what? At the end of the day.
But what do I know?
At the end of the day, we're all heavy. That's right. At the end of the day, we're just going to stay fat in the new year. New year, fat or me.
Same man boobs.
Hey, Dad, how are you doing?
Doing good. Playing golf in the morning. It'll be like 60.
Oh, that's nice. Playing golf in the morning. Nice. They're all retired out there in North Carolina.
I want to retire.
Call me when you get calmed down there. You know, give me a call. And find out when Deanna's break comes in March.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, stay close. It's not in April, Frank? Did
you
tell me
you
find out anything?
It actually might. So Easter break is April 21st. It's probably that week, I would think.
No, a lot of schools now, speaking as a teacher, do not have spring break the same week as...
Love you too, Mom. We'll get those dates for you.
Okay, sweetheart. I love you.
Tell the paranormal world bye.
Bye.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. All right, bye, Mom.
Bye-bye.
I love you. Bye.
And for the listener, if you didn't know, when I met my wife... Frankie's mom's like, I don't know what you're doing with this other lady. You need to be with her. And now I'm married and have two kids.
That's right. You always listen to an Italian woman.
Yeah.
You never not listen to an Italian mother.
I was, I did.
Yeah. My mom is actually the reason why I'm in paranormal, I think. I think we used to go some when I was a kid. She loved going to cemeteries. She still does. We see a cemetery. Me and my mom will pull over, you know. We're looking at prime real estate for them. Yeah.
That tree looks nice. I want to look at it for eternity.
Right. Exactly. Death is really humorous in my family because we're all scared to death of it. But can you be scared to death of death? I don't know. Maybe that's something we have to look into. Tonight's episode, I'm glad you enjoyed that. And you know the reason why I put that out there is because most of you guys that listen to my podcast follow me on Facebook, and you know my antics with my mother. That was a hands-on mom. Oh, yeah. It was great.
Your mom, the stuff your mom says is freaking amazing.
That's funny. Veronica Canute just texted me.
Look at that. We just talked about her. She friended me on Facebook today.
And the funniest thing about it is she sent me a tweet about Bird Box. This is real life. It's by Ditch Pony on Twitter, at Molly7Ann. She said, picture this. You're blindfolded. Sandra Bullock tells you not to look. You look. You're surrounded by garbage and dirty socks. But how can this be? It smells amazing. This is a Febreze commercial.
That's funny. I like that. Remember those commercials?
Speaking of commercials in the Bird Box, what was your favorite commercial where they needed funding?
I don't know if you guys know, but I love Jeeps.
Oh, here we go.
And so, giving credit to John, because John Baldwin, we were at lunch with him today. And he's like, Bird Box was just a Jeep commercial. And I didn't think of it like that, but after he said it, it's great.
It is
hilarious.
This movie is a piece of shit.
But it's entertaining.
It is.
It's entertaining
it is.
Shit.
It is very entertaining shit. It has good structure and it has good movement.
I actually, you know, the cinematography of it was pretty entertaining, too.
It's not bad.
The story has some glaring holes.
Oh, God. And we're going to get into those tonight because, you know, the thing about us is like, and don't get us wrong, we're not haters. When a film is good, we're all about it, man. And we will put it on the show. But, like, if you're going to tell me, if you're going to sit there and you're going to keep, you know.
I'm the scariest movie since The Exorcist.
No.
Exorcist.
Yeah, but not it.
No, not it, dude. Not scary at all. Now,
it's entertaining, though.
It is. But if you have bad anxiety and you don't like closed spaces and you don't like being in the dark.
I could see that. That
could
do
be
this.
Pretty. If I had that fear, like you have that fear of needles, like.
Yeah. The Exorcist has a needle scene, too.
Right. And so I can empathize with that. But at the same time, I mean, did Bird Box do what it was projected to do, being an original film, having that. Beautiful Sandra Bullock. No. God, is she beautiful.
I think they what they did is they ripped off old M. Night Shyamalan's The Happening. Just John Leguizamo didn't hang himself from a tree or run into. Actually, he drove a car into a tree, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody was just basically killing themselves, and so it had a lot of undertones. Now, you haven't seen A Quiet Place.
I have not.
So now, A Quiet Place, the structure and the story and the character development is and the creature reveal is beautiful. John Krasinski is an incredible writer. He was not only great on The Office
as Jim,
but he is married to Emily Lee Blunt, who's in The Quiet Place with him, and they are phenomenal. This movie, across the board, you can tell Krasinski's love of film. You can just see it when he writes. You can see the, you know, coming from The Office and really not being typecasted to Jim his whole life, was able to kind of break out and do some really amazing films. And The Quiet Place is awesome. I wish you had more time to stay tonight. We'd actually kind of watch it. I own it.
Yeah,
anything John Krasinski does from here on out, I'm owning it.
Did you see 13 I think he's Hours? One of the.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That movie's amazing.
I own it too. Anything he's doing, and I fucking love him. Like, straight up. I think he is the most talented person coming out of Hollywood. I believe. I believe he's an Ivy Leaguer from Brown University. I think he had a writing degree, but I'm not too sure. I got to follow up on that. We'll do some fact checks here with our intern, the Gold Plant.
That Gold Plant is active.
This house is gay, though, isn't it?
You know,
it looks like the gay Renaissance in here.
A lot of people think that you're gay.
Well, there you go. I mean, there's so much fan art in here. I just tell you one thing.
You do.
Look who's there. It's Jim L. Salazar's here. How y'all doing?
Your hat's over there, bud.
My hat is on the Christmas tree. It is a Panama tradition to put your hat on the Christmas tree.
Is that true?
It is absolutely 100% true. We're doing silly tonight because this movie is silly.
It's
there is a gold silly. Plant. My house does look like the gay Renaissance.
I thought this was called Jewish Renaissance.
It's kind of like the Jewish Renaissance. It's kind of like the Jewish gay Renaissance. It's basically Birdcage.
It's oh.
And Nathan Lane.
Nathan Lane sitting in the corner.
I have a butler. But when I wear shoes, I fall down. But
it's a great movie.
Oh, it's the best love that movie. And this is, listen, hey, this is satire, and this is, if you're offended, once again, you don't have to listen.
Yeah.
Because we love gay people. We love all people. We love everybody. If you want to do your thing, man.
Dude, you got some on me.
I know. That's like some Chinese food right there.
There's rice on my arm.
Anyway, let's talk about Bird Box. All right, this show is sponsored by Chick-fil-A.
The Jesus chicken is
Jesus chicken.
So good.
Messiah Savior chicken.
The Messiah Savior chicken.
My pleasure.
I love that place.
My rule when I go to Chick-fil-A is basically not only do I get a Bird Box, but I try to get them to say my pleasure as many times as I can. And if you just keep saying, thank you so much, my pleasure, my pleasure, my pleasure, yeah, my pleasure, do. My pleasure. I think I got them to say it 17 times one time. That's an all-time high.
That's
There's
amazing.
Some kind of record with the my pleasure Chick-fil-A. Closed Sundays for the Lord.
You know,
they cook all the chicken for heaven on Sunday. It's essentially all the chicken.
They cater for heaven.
All the chicken that is not used, they bury on Sunday.
I believe that.
I have theories, just like everybody had theories of the Bird Box, right?
Right.
And one of the stupidest theories, and even if it was the intent, it is so fucking dumb. They said that the creature was social media. Now, I've been on some scary Facebook pages. Trust me. I have people that are very left. They're just too left. You know that person that's just too left? He's offended by, like, if the wind blows too hard.
Yeah.
You know? The wind is too hard. It offends me.
Everything I post offends those people.
Everything. Well, you just offend people in general, but that's okay, man.
I like it.
We love everybody here on this show.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're welcome. There's a gold bull behind you. It's really? Just country gay chic is what this house is like now.
Country gay chic.
I'm a bisexual. I can say those things.
Yeah, this is true.
Mm-hmm.
This is true.
Bisexual podcast host. He's the first outwardly podcast host of Paranormal Bisex.
Well, I'd like to come out of the closet and tell people I'm heterosexual.
You're hetero?
Yeah, they
Petro. I'm petrosexual.
some people don't believe it from the things that I say.
I believe in petroleum.
Oh, well, if we're going there, I'm definitely Petro.
All right, so now that we've offended the world, Bird Box, I think, is one of the craziest movies to hit Netflix. It gets all this esteem, all this glory. But when you look at a film, not a movie, right? So movies, right. Just so you guys know the actual term of what a movie is versus what a film is. A film is actually has all the parts of it, all the parts from cinematography, all the parts of writing, all the parts of direction, all the parts of acting. A film encompasses all of those things. Usually these films are film festival winners and Academy Awards. If you're not in that sector, you are a movie, kind of like the Avengers and a Black Panther, and those are movies.
Not There's saying a, those are bad movies no. to watch. Those are awesome. Who doesn't like Guardians of the Galaxy?
One of the best. Yeah. Well, the second one's all right, but I love Kurt Russell, and you just can't get away from
that
man.
I love Kurt Russell, too. I love
him. Saw him in San Francisco.
Did you really?
I sure did.
I'm jelly.
I know.
He's one of my favorites.
I totally want
I totally Did you walk up to, and call him Snake Plissken?
Yeah. I'm living my best afterlife right now. So at the end of the day, I'm going to get that in there. That is a shift, graveyard shift patent. We actually just copyrighted that line, so you can't take it, idiots. anyway, Bird Box, that did not have Kurt Russell in it, but should have.
That would have been good.
Kurt Russell, and that would have been amazing.
I saw that Kurt Russell Christmas movie where he plays Santa.
Oh, God. The Christmas Chronicles was amazing.
He's the smart-ass Santa Claus, and he was great.
He was awesome.
He stole a car. He's Santa.
He said fake news when they said he was fat.
he did.
Not fake news for me and Jeremy. But anyway, the thing that that I would remind you.
I'm fluffy.
I'm fluffy this year. Yeah, I'm fluffy. I came into this year very fluffy, but I came in this year me. It was no new me. It was me.
I'm the same crabby old smartass that I've always been.
Yeah, crabby. You drop the F-bomb a lot, but when we're on the podcast, you don't. And I really enjoy that. I love that.
You told me that not to do it.
Yeah, you shouldn't. That's a little... We said it once tonight, and I think that's our limit. Sorry, it was from me. You get one F-bomb tonight.
F-bomb.
Okay, cool.
That's the name of David Freiberger's Camaro.
We are both starting the keto diet tomorrow.
So we ate Chinese.
So we had Bird Box tonight for dinner. And now... You know, almost 22 minutes into this, we can start talking about...
Yeah, we can talk about the movie, because this movie. Is kind of how the movie works. Let's just say that the best part of it was John Malkovich being exactly who you would expect him to be.
In every film.
He's
just an asshole something.
Yeah.
Asshole neighbor, asshole card player, asshole CIA agent.
Asshole inside his own head.
Asshole inside his own asshole head. asshole inside his own asshole. I think that there are some big headliner names. I mean, Tavon Rhodes, love him from Moonlight. Incredible actor, African-American. Here's my problem with it, right? It's predictable.
You think?
And I understand people, like I said, I am, you know, all kidding aside and the joking aside, I am 100% like really conscious of people's mental illnesses and anxieties. And yeah, I can see where this film can be scary for some people. But when you're comparing it with like The Ring or
I don't think The Ring's scary.
Yeah, but see, I think it is.
Well, you're wrong.
Dude, that thing was all clicking and all wet and dead and all shaking and like click, click, click.
So
click,
you're
click,
afraid
click,
of going swimming. Know? Okay, I get it.
No, what I'm saying is like all these people be like, I'm going to click over to you. I'm going to click, click, click. And it's like, I don't want dead, wet, clicking girls. And that was like the thing, right? Like that was a string of movies. Like The Grudge, remember the dead, wet, clicking girl? You know, then you had the one, what was the kid with the Grudge was one, and then one with Halle Berry. What was that one?
Not Gothica. No.
It was Gothica.
But she was on fire. Oh. That girl on fire.
So you needed the dead, wet girl to get put out the dead fire girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, because melting skin is always a scary thing. But for Bird Box, right, some of the things that I just absolutely hated about it was the predictability of it. We knew that Tavon Rhodes was going to be this badass black guy that was a vet, and you're like, oh my God, he's going to sacrifice somehow in the film, and he's going to die, right? And then they kill off the other black guy who was amazing. He was fun. I really thought the story development was going to develop from this one shopkeeper, right? That had that whole, like, I read about this, I write about this, I have a novel coming out.
Right.
And then they kill his ass off right in the beginning.
It was almost racist.
But how they kill him off is the Jeep commercial, which I think is the stupidest part of this film. 100%. They take a Jeep, they black out the windows.
Jeeps are awesome, just so you know.
Jeeps are awesome. Has nothing to do with the car.
This is true.
Has everything to do with driving with just your GPS. your sensors are not that good.
It's not just the GPS, it's also the parking sensors.
Yeah.
And they keep running over dead bodies and stuff, and they're like, oh, that must be a curb. Crunch. Because curbs crunch.
Yeah. And it's just like the whole way, there's just no way. So I guess what now, the Bird Box challenge is out there. You got to drive blindfolded with your GPS only.
Yeah, so now we got a bunch of idiots that, you know, they're wrecking their car and accidentally swallowing their Tide Pod.
Yep, exactly. Same people.
They're also doing that challenge where they ghost ride their car and sing about some girl loving them, or I don't even know what the song is.
And then some of the stuff didn't add up. I mean, they called a movie Bird Box.
But there were birds in a box. Do you think that they could have got Alice in Chains to sing "I'm the Bird in the Box"?
If that came on every time there was one of the creatures, then that would have been better. But my problem was is that if your entire science and idea behind having these birds that can see the creature and warn you, like an alarm,
shouldn't they be able to see outside the box?
You know,
you got them in a shoe box with a couple of holes poked in the side.
I know. And then you give it to two kids that are 5 years old in a raft. They're both dead, right? At the end of the day, there's no way they make a journey. So then they get into a. It's just the entire film just goes from one terrible car wreck to the next. It's just a dumpster fire of film. It just really is. It's like,
you don't believe that they could float down rapids blindfolded?
Well, they're all boarded up inside a house. They got to do a food run, so they black out the windows and they drive with just GPS, hitting everything in the way. But meanwhile, in the beginning of the film, you had
took a built Wrangler and drove over everything.
Well, not even if you had like buses and shit in the way. It was dystopia.
My Wrangler would go through a bus.
Remember, people were just dying every time they saw something. They just died.
They just kill themselves.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, too. Like, so you're stealing from The Happening. You're stealing from The Quiet Place. You're stealing from hundreds of other movies that have done this dystopian type Walking Dead aspect of where it's almost like to a place where, like, well, where else are you going to go with it? Like, your thematic is the same. Like,
well, here's where we're going different. We're going to take a Jeep, and we're only going to drive with the driving sensors, the parking sensors, and the GPS. We'll be fine.
It's just, for me, like, as paranormal podcasters, and we're talking about scary movies, I mean, the first two episodes of the podcast this year are on movies, right? One's Winchester House, one is Bird Box. Does Sandra Bullock put on a great performance? 100%. Is she beautiful and hot? 100%. Like, she doesn't age. I've heard. She's just beautiful.
She is. She's kind of like Keanu Reeves. Like,
he's also beautiful.
Which, honestly, now that I think about it, they did a movie or two together, didn't they?
Speed. Where she was basically in a bus blindfolded going 60 miles an hour. So
dun,
she's...
Dun, dun.
But she's not driving. But I think all in all, some of the things that came out of Bird Box were the memes. And
the memes are... You need to watch the movie if only to understand the memes.
Right.
Because they're obviously having Jeeps in it. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The Jeep pages have blown up with all the Jeep memes.
Yeah, and it's everywhere. And it's funny that our society deals with, you know, humor and fear in memes. And that's fun. That's great. That's what communication is about. And if we can make fun of ourselves, awesome. At the end of the day, this film fails to be a good film for numerous reasons, right? So
plot holes, maybe?
Yeah. Plot holes, character development. I didn't care about Sandra.
No.
She's this agoraphobic artist that becomes pregnant. You never hear about the husband. You never hear about, not the husband, but who the guy that knocked her up. There's no character development for her. Like, how did she get in that place?
And then she calls the kids boy and girl.
Which are just like, what? Like, you know,
can't give them a goddamn name?
Yeah, giving them no hope, right, for the future.
Right. Right?
And so, like, her only option.
Hi, I'm boy. Good to meet you.
And her only option is, like, you know, and then. Once again, getting back to the birds, they have two birds in the house. There's a guy that knocks on the door and says, I need you to come in. Some British asshole, you know?
And John Malkovich rightly says, don't let him in.
Don't let him in. Kill that son of a bitch right now. And they should have.
I believe that's a quote, isn't it?
Yeah. And kill him. Like, and he should have, right?
Yeah.
Because we all knew. Once again, it was predictable. Once again, it was like motivating the storyline. And that's just not how you do good films, man. I'm sorry. Good films are surprises. When you watch The Quiet Place, that bathtub scene with Emily Blunt is the scariest part of a film that I've seen this year. That is a freaky scene. All right.
Right.
And, you know, The Quiet Place deals with senses. I'm not going to give it away for Jeremy because he hasn't seen it yet. But this one deals with sight.
Right.
You know, and what are they looking at? There's no creature reveal. And, yeah, you have the one guy drawing. The British guy is drawing all the stuff in the
room. Well, maybe they're stealing from another movie that you didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
It Comes at Night.
Oh, God.
Because It Comes at Night.
Same thing. Same
and
problem.
I remember what Frankie said when we saw this. It never comes.
Yeah.
Because you never have a creature reveal. You don't actually know what's really going on with these people, mm-hmm. which is the reason he hated it and the reason I liked it.
Yeah. And I mean, it's an A24 film, right? And I mm-hmm. think that in my own ignorance, I think back then too, is that I think looking back at It Comes at Night, the character development was good and It Comes yeah. at Night. You understood the it's still way better than Bird Box.
You know his motivations.
Exactly. And from the beginning of the film, we know it's this outbreak of some sort. It's some kind of virus and that it does come at night, right?
And A24 is one of those things that when me and my wife, because we pretty much exclusively watch horror movies, when we see A24, that's as good as seeing like IFC Midnight because you know it's going to be totally screwed.
Yeah.
It's going to be a crazy ass movie.
I just, yeah. I mean, Hereditary.
I finally saw that like last week.
When my God. We have to do a podcast on Hereditary.
Hereditary was great.
Jesus. Are they, you want to talk about horror shock? Shock horror? They don't care.
No.
And that storyline was brilliant.
That was really good.
That's real witch stuff in that movie. Yeah. Like, they did their homework. They did their research. That's what I love about A24. When A24 puts out a film, whether it's, you know, Lady Bird, A Ghost Story, or Hereditary, or Witch. Oh, my
God. Oh, yeah. That was one of theirs. Witch is great.
It's all done in Old English.
It is great.
It's a limited cast. It's just incredible, like their films.
It made me want to get a goat.
It made me want to get a black goat.
Yeah.
And just so I can have Latin conversations with it.
Yeah. You know. Who doesn't talk to their goat like
that? I talk to goat. I talk goat. Yeah. but in Bird Box, we don't get that. The birds never really do anything.
They chirp once or twice.
Everybody fucking dies, right? It's almost like a Scorsese film until she...
It is, except it's not entertaining like that. Exactly. Let's face it. Goodfellas, best movie ever.
Yeah. But when you look at when, all right, she gets a call from this institution, right, that tells her, oh, we have a sanctuary, a bird sanctuary.
Right.
You got to make it up the river rapids. I don't think you're going to make it with two children. So naturally, we know that she's now going to make it with two children.
We're going, yeah, they didn't predict that.
And then some people, like, don't kill themselves and are just totally cool with seeing the creature and they become, like.
Because they're crazy.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, they become what? The Walking Dead people, right?
Well, no, because like that guy wasn't exactly the guy they let in, the crazy British guy. He's not exactly the Walking Dead. I think he has a true mental illness. And to me, that right there really ties in and makes the theory that the real demon is Facebook or social media.
Right.
Because, like, he's crazy, so it doesn't affect him.
So he's one of those people on Facebook, like on social media, that posts like all these liberal posts all the Republican posts or all the.
He's the troll.
Yeah, yeah, and essentially, if that's what, yeah, if the movie is about trolls, right, and that, and one of the theories is, or what the book is based on, or something. The book is supposedly nine times better, and it usually is because you can develop the characters better.
Every Stephen King book is so much better than the movies.
Yeah, and you can develop characters better, but like with Bird Box, it was just like, God, was it terrible. Entertaining.
It was entertaining.
But just like, I didn't care if she died. I didn't really care about the kids either. Like the kids
I kind of hoped that she did.
Yeah, the kids didn't even have really a part, so you didn't really have an emotional attachment to them.
The kids really were just blindfolded the whole time.
Yeah.
Hey, boy and girl, we're going to take a boat. One of you's got to look.
And then he tells them a story about a treehouse, and then he gets bombarded by Sandra Bullock. Don't tell them about hope and trees and playing with other kids. And then what are you doing all this for? Then just walk outside.
Go and take a look.
So, see what it is. There was really, you know, like when you look at like films like Annihilation, which once again borders on this dystopia of what happened, right?
Right.
And it's the movie is so incredible. There's so much depth to it. This movie was just shallow depth of field, man.
Even looking at like The Walking Dead.
Right.
There's tons of character development.
Oh God, from the first season.
And
you
know,
first
a
episode.
Lot of people are like, oh, it's the same story repeatedly and blah, 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 blah.
And there's merit to that.
But at some point, people need to realize that there's not only one, you know, villain in this. It's not only the zombies. They're, to some extent, Rick's a villain.
Right. And so there's just like, so she finally does make it to this parish or whatever.
The blind school yeah. of the can't
where
see.
All the dead.
The
yeah. And if it is social, blower. Like how many dead people do you know on social media that still respond to you? So like the whole social media thing, I don't buy that. I've never looked at a post and wanted to kill myself. Like, I mean,
I can get it. Again, it's a stretch, but you know, it could be commentary on this, you know, internet bullying and people killing themselves because of that.
Sure.
I mean, I can see that, but if that was truly their intent, mm-hmm. wouldn't, I mean, they really, I mean, that's like trying to come up with the different, how all the Pixar movies are tied together.
Like a universe.
Right.
The thing is that like, I think if it's trying to do that,
it should have
failed and it failed at doing that. I don't think anybody got that.
No.
I think the one weirdo that lives outside the box where that film was written outside the box maybe got it and like, oh my God, this is so
deep. Probably
deep.
The director who right. posted that. But he's like, well, I got to cover my butt on this, so I'm going to type this out and post it from a friend.
Yeah, it's just like, it's just a sad film. And then she finally, the big reveal is that it's a bunch of people that are blind. It's a blind, how do the blind people know?
Right.
How do they know?
I think the best John saying that the villain is a bunch of leaf blowers.
For me, I thought it was like you're gonna take your blindfold off and see a big pinata, like or pin the tail on the donkey. Right. You know, it's like, what is this creature reveal that's so like shocking? And we have this one scene where once again the British asshole is kind of writing and sketching all these different things of what it could be. But it's not right. pertaining to internet posts. It's not pertaining to any sayings or bullying.
One of them, you know, one of them looks like the...
And they kill the Asian guy. Once again, that Asian guy always dies in a room looking at screens, like in Jurassic Park.
Dr. Wu in Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Same guy. Also gay. It's beautiful. It's good.
Oh, that felt good. That, oh. I can smell chicken fried rice.
It was your bird. It's a bird box. You just let your bird go out of your box.
I did.
I don't know. Just all in all, not scary. No merit, no truth.
I mean, if it's scary, it's scary to somebody who has that very specific phobia.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Like The Exorcist scares the hell out of everybody.
Yeah.
You've never even made it all the way through it. And me, I can fall asleep
once,
watching
like,
that movie.
Red Lobster wants to be coming down all crab walking down the block. I'm like, nope, we out, we going. We're going to pause here because crab walking. You know, crab ragoon.
Crab ragoon.
She's crab ragooning down the staircase. Nope, I'm out, man. Nope. Like, but this film, I mean, is just, you know, miles away from being in my top 10 scary films of all time.
Oh, it's,
The Haunting of Hill was incredible.
The Haunting of Hill House was great. I didn't find it. There's very few movies I find to be scary.
Yeah.
You know, but The Haunting of Hill House, now that's. But that's, you know, it's had two great films.
Mm-hmm.
The series was awesome. Mm-hmm. And it all comes from a great book, which I've read several times, that.
Called?
The Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson. That could
Which is a novella. From a long time ago.
The original movie was 63, I believe.
Yeah.
And
Donald Sutherland, I think, is in it.
Is he really?
I think so.
I've seen that movie so many times, I never...
Yeah.
But you could actually say that might be based on the Winchester House.
100%.
I mean, there's a lot of parallels to it.
Sure.
And, you know, off the top of my head, I have no clue when Shirley Jackson wrote that movie.
Yeah,
I would say it's probably the mid to late 50s.
Yeah, it might have been. It's a novella. It's a crazy story. It's always been scary. It's what you were saying earlier, right? The Exorcist scares everybody. Jaws scared everybody. Jaws was one of the only movies that has ever stopped tourism.
Right.
Like, that says something about a scary movie. And it's Steven Spielberg's really his real first hit as a film director. And, you know, so he really kind of like, you know, he crescendos from that point. Like, just blows up.
Before that, what does he have? He has Duel. He has, was it THX, whatever, some number. 11,
yeah, I mean, he has 100 other films that he all bought and burned that he never wanted to. He did the whole Orson Welles thing where I'm going to keep this and buy the rights to it and never release it,
right?
Because it was terrible work, in my opinion. I mean, I think it's good to show. Like, I've locked some stuff on my Vimeo because I've gotten better as a cinematographer,
right?
And you know, I want more of a. And there are people that are just super talented at it, and for other people, you know, you got to work at it more.
But then he did that stupid thing where he took the handguns out of the police hands in E.T.
Huh, yeah.
Like, come on, guys. We can tell that should have been a handgun and not a walkie-talkie.
Yeah.
But that's not unlike Lucas. Because, damn it, Han shot first.
Yeah. The thing, you know, and I think that, all in all, I mean, are there great performances in the film? Sure, there's great performances. Does Sandra Bullock, you know, capture the emotion? Sure, she's a great actor. But all in all, I mean, Bird Box was as a joke. It was not this film that everybody thinks it is. I think if it ran the festival circuit, it would lose. I don't think it would even be selected.
What was its Rotten Tomato rating? Do we even know that?
Let's look at it. It's probably high.
Which I don't get because it's not even that original. I mean, if I looked at this movie like just off the top of my head, I would say it is a direct ripoff of The Happening.
I just spelled Bird Box. Bird.
Bird.
But that's life. You ever watch that?
I don't know.
That's death.
Well,
Veronica will be listening to this, so she'll be able to laugh. Exactly. And her mom will be listening to this, so she'll be able to.
Sarah.
No, actually, it got 62. Which is not good.
That's no.
So critic consensus: Bird Box never quite reaches its intriguing potential, but strong acting. This is exactly what I just said. Strong acting and effectively chilly mood offer intermittently creepy compensation, and that's probably a
good assessment.
I think that's fair. You know, it is really. What's the other one that I like? Rotten Tomatoes and.
IMDb?
No, there's another one that tracks.
Oh, I don't normally. I usually just look at Rotten Tomatoes.
Movies
that don't suck.com?
Here you go. Sandra Bullock is always likable and effective, but she's surrounded by several one-dimensional fellow survivors, none of whom act or think like real human beings.
Don't open it. I don't.
It's Bird Box.
I don't want to see what's. I don't want to see what's at the door. Somebody's knocking at the door. Turns out it's a delivery for next door.
You're on a podcast, by the way.
It's more food, Jeremy, but it's not ours.
Can I have a taste?
She's coming. We're about to steal your food.
Well, oh, God. That was weird.
The creature got me.
You know, you shouldn't.
I looked at her eyes and she had food from Postmates. Today's sponsor is Postmates.
What is Postmates?
Postmates is basically, they wouldn't have it where you live because you live in Deflator.
I live in the People's Democratic Republic of Illinois.
So I'm going to read some of these critics. A clunky, middling rehash of tired apocalyptic fictional hopes and tropes.
Ooh, that's dead on.
The post-apocalyptic thriller with supernatural overtones has a clever premise, as in The Legend of Medusa. Death visits anyone who looks upon the source of evil, but the potential is squandered. That's an interesting perspective, the whole mythology thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I watched Clash of the Titans the other day. Harry Hamlin.
Here's Tim Brayton, alternate ending. He's a really good critic. You could support a tight 80-minute film with that river journey. As it turns out, though, you cannot support half of a two-hour movie. Is it good? Not really, but it doesn't need to be. That's a good one.
That, you know what? It doesn't need to be.
I just feel like it's a quiet place, but let's take out the vision. Wow, that's crushing. That was Tony Baker comedy. Agree with Tony Baker. Here's another one. Richard Brody of The New Yorker. Unfortunately, Bird Box puts these performers through familiar paces in roles of such tight typecasting that they seem like reoccurring characters in an extended TV series. Here's Christina Tucker from Film Inquiry. As it stands, it is a film with a cast better than it deserves, a schmaltzy ending it hasn't earned, and very little to say about the nature of fear and survival. Christina Tucker, Film Inquiry. Wow, crushing.
That's harsh.
Here's Nate Adams, the only critic. For as effective as Bullock's portrayal comes across, Bear leaves too much on the table in terms of mythology. And aside from brief drawings and shadows in the corridors, the monster remains unseen, a tactic that works until it doesn't. And I agree with that 100%.
There has to be a reveal.
You have to do a creature reveal. It does not work, okay, unless you're doing episodic. Works in episodic, right? Why does it work in Cloverfield?
Well, there is technically a creature reveal.
Very slight.
Very slight.
But
there's almost no creature reveal in A Dark Place, and yet I loved it.
Yeah. And what you were saying before, it comes at night. And right, I think that Nate Adams makes a good point of that.
There's another movie, I forget the name of it.
So Eric Mellon, scene stealers. I love this kid, Eric Mellon. He's pretty funny. On December 27th, my daughter's birthday, he wrote, with unintentionally funny scenes featuring its characters hurtling themselves headfirst through windows or to commit suicide. Bird Box sadly has more in common with the M. Night Shyamalan disaster piece, The Happening, than anything else. It wasn't. I mean, it was the trees were pissed off or something. This is getting just, I think 60% is pretty good. It's not like a 10% like Winchester got, we had talked about last episode. Right. The cross-cutting narrative device doesn't add much to the movie, and as it wears on, it starts to feel like it isn't totally sure what it's trying to do. This is Alyssa Wilkinson from Vox. 100% agree. As filmmakers, one of the things I strive to do when I write scripts is that make sure that I'm developing the character enough. If I'm doing a short film, you need to develop them enough. You know, we did a 10-minute film that had pretty good honors last year, and the reason why we did that is because we were able to develop the characters pretty good.
Well, I saw this movie. I've seen it twice now. I think it's called Into the Woods, and it's got Ellen Page, and it's another one of these post-apocalyptic things that you never know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
There is no creature reveal. There is other than, you know, like some brutalization from just another human. I mean, everybody disappears. You don't know why they're gone. You don't know where they gone. You don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally Ellen and her sister. And there's no creature reveal, but to me, that movie worked.
I mean, basically, Machine Gun Kelly bangs a girl and steals a car, so that was pretty true life.
And you know what? I honestly had no clue that was Machine Gun Kelly. I've heard of him.
Well, after he got destroyed by Eminem, he went into film where he's still getting destroyed.
Oh.
His character was so bad, they couldn't even kill him off.
His face looks
he
like...
He drove off.
His face looks like a desk in study hall.
No, what Bird Box really needed to do was think outside the Bird Box. In my opinion. I know that's a bad pun, but think outside the Bird Box. We would kill for actors like that.
Yeah, and you have John Malkovich, and you have
I
almost said Gretchen Wilson. I don't know where that came from.
So Madison Price, one of our other persons on shift, who's one of the best musicians in St. Louis. We had talked a lot about Bird Box when she was over the other night. We were going through music for our new film Cringe, where she's doing all the music for it and the undertones and stuff like that. And she made a good point to say that when she watched Sandra Bullock's...
There it is.
Yeah. When she watched Sandra Bullock's interview on Ellen, it was the most awkward interview ever. If you watch it, it's just like Sandra tries to leave at some point. And Ellen's like, we're not done with you. Just stay tuned. And da da da. And I haven't watched it, so I don't know. But like, even then, like the PR and the press kit around the film, I don't think you have to understand too. When actors read this script, they don't know what the finished product is going to look like.
Right.
They only have an idea of what it's going to. And a good example of this is Citizen Kane. Okay, that was a locked set, called a lockdown. A lockdown means that the only people allowed on Orson Welles' sets were the actors, the directors, and the crew. Producers, outside, fans, PR, nobody was allowed on those sets. And they did not know what this film was going to look like, how it came together, until they saw it at the premiere, which was also blacklisted because it was William Randolph Hearst, and you know he didn't want the film being done because it was about his life, and you know, and it eventually becomes the best film ever done. It really is. It's gorgeous. It broke boundaries. When you look at the date of when Orson did this, he does it when he's 25 years old. It's an incredible film. We learn so much about filmmaking because of that film. And then when you kind of come to fruition on, you know, when Sandra probably read this script, it probably sounded really cool. Like, I can really get into this character. And I think when you put it together, and I'm not saying that the editing is bad per se, and I'm not saying the cinematography is bad. I mean, we talked about the cinematography. Right. It is beautiful.
It's awesome.
There's some gorgeous scenes. And to shoot, like, to give some people credit too, to shoot apocalyptic ending scenes where you need mass hysteria and you don't have a lot of people to do it and extras and you don't have CGI money, you got to think about that. This is a low budget film when you look at cost, right?
Right.
This is not an Avenger film where you have unlimited budget and we can do anything and all the characters are going to come back to life. Like when Thanos unfortunately loses his glove. I love that he had the glove. I love that he killed off half the staff. Leave it that way. Now it's a good film.
You know? Right.
Everybody wants Black Panther back and everybody wants the little guardian. I've never liked that one character though in the end. The guy with the metal wings.
Oh.
What's his stupid ass name? He's a dumbass character. I mean, like, just kill that guy off.
Is it Falcon?
I don't know what it is.
Something like that.
It's just terrible.
It's like a DC character.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's bad. But all in all, I think Bird Box is surprisingly disappoints after the hype. And people that really think it's good, I really advise you to watch things like A Quiet Place.
It's entertaining.
It is.
It's not good.
Yeah, I think 60% is perfect.
Because honestly, there are terrible movies that are... I personally watch a lot of B-rated horror movies.
But if you did take the blindfold off and you saw a big-ass pinata standing in the yard...
It would be funny.
It would be beautiful. That'd be so beautiful. Or it could be like... what was the thing in the Winchester movie we kept saying it was? The booger.
It was a bogart
in the closet.
It was Snape wearing Neville Longbottom's grandma's clothes.
That movie was terrible. And it's just like that guy had a huge budget. They built a fucking Winchester house. Right. Jesus. It's like,
you know, you just dropped a second F-bomb.
I did. Well, you didn't use yours.
Oh, you got it.
Anyway, we're coming up on the hour. We hope you're enjoying the new revamped Graveyard Shift. We're doing some movies this year. We're going to throw in some paranormal adventures. We have some events coming up, which are going to be fun. We have Pythian Castle.
That's in... towards the end of March.
Yep. You go ahead and talk about Randolph County, and I will find the dates.
In Randolph County, that's a brand new event. Some board members, me, Danny, Greg, Sandy, and then some other members. I think Megan was there and Dana. We went to a convention that happened to be held at this place. And me and Danny kind of snuck off. That's what we do. And it was like noon, and we walk downstairs, and there's, you know, Danny sees a shadow dash into a room, and I have footsteps come up to me that were so real, I turned around expecting to be face-to-face with somebody. That happened within about 3 minutes of each other, and we couldn't have been in that basement for more than 10 minutes. And when I say this place is big, This place is way bigger than Limp Mansion, way bigger than, I mean, it's not, I wouldn't say that it's as big as Waverly Hills.
I'm looking at it. It is beautiful.
It's huge.
Yeah. It's got the two turrets.
Yes.
It's the event is Saturday, April 13th and 14th. I'm actually going on right now because it's our second episode of the year. And we're going to try to do two episodes a month if we can, if we get together. See, he lives very far from me.
Yes, I do, unfortunately.
So, there are only two tickets left for this event.
I knew it was. So, if you want to go and
that's
you're listening
on the Friday,
to this, you better jump on it now.
And then there are only four. There are two tickets left for Randolph County now. It is January 6th, 2019. That we did this. We usually don't put our dates because dates are our show, but we have to because we are supporting our paranormal task force. If you haven't, you know, ghost hunt it with us, you should really try it. It's a lot of fun. It's a great time. It's a great time to do it. Couples, if you have boyfriend, girlfriend, it's a great time to really identify your relationship to see if you can be with somebody or you can find out if he's a chicken shit.
Yeah.
I mean,
me and my wife, our first date was at Tri-County Truck Stop and she got attacked.
And now you guys are living your best afterlife.
This is true.
God, I love that.
So good.
So good.
Trademark.
Are you living outside the bird box? Yeah, think outside the bird box. Listen, the other event we have, which is coming up very soon, I am so excited March. To be back. Yep. To be back in Springfield, one of the most amazing places in Missouri, just in general, because of its history with the Civil War.
No, World War II, not Civil War.
No, buddy, there's Civil War, man. Oh, yeah. Big time.
Pythian?
Right, it was in the heart of it. Pythian wasn't around.
Well, I was going to say
Springfield itself hosted its own civil war amongst its own people.
Right,
it's got crazy historic markers.
I thought you were referring to the actual civil war in the Pythian Castle.
No, Pythian Castle is not that old.
Pythian Castle
is about 100 years old.
A little more.
Yeah,
but the Pythian Castle has World War II history.
And I will tell you if we have any events left.
I think those are the only. Those might be the only two that are public right now. I know of other ones. Being a board member, I do. But I don't know dates and whatnot.
Well, 805 people are going or interested.
I'm telling you, some of these events sell out. The Sisters Tea Room, we had to add dates because people were waiting on Friday at
people
like
ask,
7
it's o'clock. $75. I'm not seeing that it's sold out. So I'm going to go ahead and give you the dates. It's March 8th.
It's early March.
It's March 8th and 9th at the Pythian Castle, which is 1451 East Pythian Street, Springfield, Missouri. Tickets are at PayPal for $75. It is well worth it. You get to see me and Jeremy.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll even invite you on the podcast to do like a bird box impersonation. You can pretend to be blindfolded and walk into a wall.
That would be our fall down steps.
You can take Jeremy's Jeep and drive it blindfolded.
How about no? How about no?
Anyway.
There's a bunch of us on the team that own Jeeps.
This is Graveyard Shift Podcast. I'm your host, Frankie Cambaletta.
And I'm Jeremy King.
And don't forget to think outside
the bird box.